Many greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and cheer for Major League Baseball's 87th annual All-Star Game, which will be played later Tuesday night at Petco Park in San Diego, California. Petco Park is where the San Diego Padres play their home games, and the Padres have one player in the starting lineup for the National League All-Stars, designated hitter Will Myers. Joining us now from San Diego is Sunny Side of Sports reporter Jonah Haskell. Sporty All-Star Game greetings, Jonah.
Sporty All-Star Game greetings, Sonny.
Jonah, what's the atmosphere like in San Diego ahead of the big game?
Honestly, there's a great atmosphere out here. It's absolutely beautiful weather both today and yesterday for the All-Star Derby. It's been blue skies, not a cloud in the sky. And then, you know, the city has just taken on this sort of party vibe. MLB set up a whole bunch of different events for fans all around the city. There's a fan fest. There's even MLB-sponsored all-star yoga sessions going on in the park. There's a concert series going on around. Fans are going to the beach because they have great beaches here in San Diego. And, you know, there are also fans here from all around the country. So really, it's a sort of a party atmosphere all throughout the city. Everyone's walking around in their baseball jerseys, and a lot of them Padres jerseys for the home team, but also people from New York, from San Francisco, from Los Angeles, from Miami. So really, the atmosphere out here is great. People are loving having the All-Star Game in their city, and it's been a lot of fun so far.
Jonah, I understand there was a record display of power in the All-Star Home Run Derby contest. Can you give our Voice of America listeners some details about that?
Yeah, it was really a prodigious display of power. I've watched a lot of home run derbies in my life. I'd never seen anything like it. Giancarlo Stanton, who plays the outfield for the Miami Marlins, he took the crown, hitting 61 home runs throughout the entire three rounds of the derby, which broke the previous record set in 2005 of 41. That was by Bobby Abreu. But he basically, you know, took half of the previous record and then added that on top of it, went from 41 to 61. And not only was he hitting a lot of home runs, he was hitting them far. Other players were averaging somewhere around 400, 410 feet on their home runs, which is something around 115 meters. Giancarlo Stanton was averaging 448 feet, or 136 meters on his home runs, and the longest one went 497 feet. That's 151 meters. And, I mean, he was hitting rockets. He was hitting line drives that just wouldn't stop going and would get out. I couldn't believe it. I remember I was sitting there with my other colleague next to me. We had our hands on our heads, our mouths open, just our jaws dropped. We couldn't believe it. I think at one point he literally hit one out of the park. It went onto the street beyond the outfield. So it really was amazing. And then also some other players played, you know, hit really well too. Todd Frazier from the Chicago White Sox, who won the Derby last year, he faced Stanton in the final. He hit a lot of home runs as well. He hit 13 in the final round. But, you know, when you're playing against someone like Stanton, who's just hitting bombs out like that, it's pretty hard to compete.
Jonah, you mentioned Stanton and Frazier. Who are some of the other players we should keep our eyes on tonight in San Diego?
So heading into the All-Star Game tonight, one of the sort of big themes in baseball right now, and it's definitely showing in this All-Star Game, is that there's a lot of really good young players in the game, and, you know, really good young players that are just starting. I'm not even talking about players who are, you know, sitting on the bench and they're going to be coming in later. These guys are starting the All-Star Game, and they're all under the age of 25. Bryce Harper of the Washington Nationals won the MVP last year. He's out there. Chris Bryant from the Chicago Cubs. He's definitely a player to watch. He plays third base, hits for a lot of power. And then there's the two Red Sox players who are very young. One of them plays the outfield. One of them plays shortstop. Xander Bogaerts and Mookie Betts. They can both hit for power. They can run hard, and they make spectacular plays in the field. So they're definitely players that I would want to watch. And then another shortstop is Addison Russell from the Chicago Cubs. He's also really young. Last year was his rookie year. He's one of the biggest prospects in the game, and here he is starting an all-star game. Should be fun to watch him on the big stage like that. And also, the starters for tonight's game is for the American League. It'll be Chris Sale from the Chicago White Sox. Great left-handed pitcher, strikes out a lot of batters. He should be a lot of fun to watch. Maybe he'll get some really good batters to, you know, look dumb swinging at some pitches that they don't even get close to. Well, on the National League side, it's Johnny Cueto of the San Francisco Giants, who started. He was in the World Series last year, actually, with the Mets or with the Royals. So he's definitely got a taste of the big time experience. We'll see how he does here in San Diego.
Jonah, you mentioned a couple of those younger players for the Boston Red Sox. Let me give a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out for the guy named Big Pappy. Big Pappy from the Dominican Republic, David Ortiz. I think he's probably one of the older players in the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, 40 years old. Tell our VOA listeners about Big Pappy.
Yeah, David Ortiz, he is 40 years old. He's the second oldest player out here after Bartolo Colon of the Mets. But he is still playing incredibly well. He's having one of his best seasons here at age 40. He actually announced before the season that he's going to be retiring. This is his last season. So this is his last chance to really get out there big time on the All-Star stage and, you know, show the entire country and the world, you know, what he can do and what he's been doing his entire career. Because Big Poppy is a great player, probably going to the Hall of Fame. He hits a lot of home runs and just, you know, a fun guy to watch.
Well, thank you, Jonah. We appreciate your insights from San Diego. Maybe you can limber up a little bit before the game, Jonah, at that yoga booth.
Yeah, you know, I might go and check that out.
All right, thank you, Jonah. That's Sunny Side of Sports reporter Jonah Haskell speaking with us from San Diego, California, the venue for Major League Baseball's 87th annual All-Star Game. The countdown continues for the Rio Olympics in Brazil. We're now 24 days away to the opening ceremony at the Maracanã Stadium in Rio de Janeiro. Mark your calendars, VOA Olympic fans. The Olympic festivities will officially begin on Friday, August 5th. Ahead of the Games, athletes, officials, and tourists are beginning to flow into Rio, as we hear now from our friend in the city, Luis Piazzet. Sporty Olympic greetings, Luis.
Paralympic greetings, Sonny. International flights to Rio de Janeiro between July and September have increased 300% compared to the same period last year. We spoke with Mr. Marcos Henrique Pires, Chief of Service of the Aviation Secretary of the Ministry of Transport. He works integrated with the organizers of the local Olympic Committee. To have a glance of such influx of people into the city, here is a slice of a longer conversation with Marcos.
What do you expect? How many tourists? The volume? How we are prepared to receive all these people? I heard 500,000 people.
Okay, actually we are expecting more than 1 million between athletes, the delegations, tourists, that will be using the Rio de Janeiro airport through all the time of the Olympics and Paralympic Games. Mainly the Rio de Janeiro airport, which will be the entry gate, let's say.
What is the big issue? I mean, the main concern?
the issues that most concern us and that we invested more time in the planning were the accessibility of the airports for the paracletes and the people with reduced mobility.
Okay.
And the special luggage that the Olympic and Paralympic athletes bring.
Right.
Special cases like guns and boats and rowing for the rowing. And then all this special equipment that they bring, the horses for the Olympic. The Olympic brings a lot of special issues that we have to concern that on the other events that we that the country receives.
So, so they bring also horses on the plane?
Yeah, yeah. The,
really?
The, yeah, for the equestrian events. We will be receiving like more than 200 horses that will come on the airplanes. And they come from England, they come from Sweden, they come from North America. To be special horses and the other, as I said, other items like the gun for the competition.
Rio seems to be almost ready. It looks like it's doing all that is at hand to solve problems. The most new effort is that the organizers managed to have the aid of helicopters to visualize streams of garbage in the Guanabara Bay, while skimmer boats will make the cleanup. There are few floating barriers in strategic places holding floating solid waste, and two boats are supposed to pick up 400 tons of waste that are dumped daily in the Guanabara Bay. Also, a new superbacteria, unveiled in a scientific conference in San Diego last year, appeared in a similar study done in Brazil, announced last week. The superbacteria was found in the bay. The superbug, according to the studies, affects the urinary and gastrointestinal system of humans, and 50% of affected people can die from it. Finally, the security. The National Special Force has arrived in Rio already, and a source that works near the statue of Cristo Redentor, the Christ Redeemer, told me that the civilians being trained to help with the security issues, including threat of terrorism, were recommended to, for instance, if you see a person or a couple in a tourist point acting suspicious, like picture entrances, doors, and pathways instead of the very tourist subject, snap a picture of them and report to the nearest guard. I am Luis Piazzi for the Sunny Side of Sports in Rio de Janeiro.
VOA listeners are mourning the loss of Mark Ouma, our longtime Daybreak Africa sportsman who died Sunday at the age of 55 in Durban, South Africa. Let's check out some of the comments at my Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. Former VOA engineer Steve Densmore writes, "Oh no, what a fun, gentle person. It was a pleasure to meet Mark at the 2010 World Cup in South Africa. I was glad I could help him with some technical issues he was having. Rest in peace, Mark." Barry Katamila, writing from Kampala, Uganda, says, "I must say, as a Voice of America listener for close to 30 years, I know we have lost many along the way, but hearing Mark left us devastated me as if I lost my brother. But honestly, each morning I would say along with him, now back to you, James, in Washington. May his soul rest in peace." I mentioned how Barry wrote from Kampala. Before launching his career in sports journalism, Mark Ouma studied philosophy in Kampala. Rose Akpawan, who I met 2 years ago in Abuja, Nigeria, writes, "Rest in peace, Mark. I'll miss your voice on Daybreak Africa Sports." Peter Haruna, writing from Kaduna, Nigeria, says, "Honestly, we have lost a genius when it comes to talking about sports in Africa. I listen to him every morning on Daybreak Africa, Monday through Friday. You're unforgettable, Mark. Rest on, bro." Ibrahim Mohammed, also writing from Kaduna, Nigeria, says, "Oh God, rest in peace, Mark. You were a formidable sports reporter." Vincent Maloba, the beat cop of the Sunny Side of Sports in Nairobi, Kenya, writes, "I can't believe it, Sunny. Rest in peace, Mark. Words are not enough to express my shock and grief." Anita Powell, the Voice of America's correspondent in Johannesburg, South Africa, where Mark was based, writes, "This is such dreadful news. Mark was such a nice man and a great sports journalist. He was also funny and humble, and I'll miss him." Meanwhile, the International Association of Athletics Federations, or IAAF, also paid tribute to Mark Ouma at its website on Tuesday. The IAAF says it's deeply saddened to hear that athletics journalist Mark Ouma passed away on Sunday in Durban, South Africa, at the age of 55. The IAAF says Mark was a regular contributor to its website. The IAAF says he worked tirelessly throughout his life to give exposure to African athletics and the achievements of African athletes. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if you check out my Facebook page today, Tuesday, you'll see a nice photo of Mark Ouma, our former longtime Daybreak Africa sportsman. Rest in peace, Mark. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Tuesday?
Well, a little while ago, we heard Jonah talk about the All-Star game that's coming up later today. And I want to jump back to what happened last night with the Home Run Derby, because that's always the precursor to the All-Star game. And so we had Giancarlo Stanton of the Miami Marlins blasting 61 home runs, a new record for the Home Run Derby. After he did this, he posted on Instagram, he has a photo, he's holding up that Home Run Derby trophy, which is the two bats crossed in midair. And he just writes, "Oh, what a night." And he has a little trophy emoji. So he's gotten over 48,000 likes on that photo just since last night, since posting that. But
wow.
Lots of comments on there saying that he is, you know, a beast, savage, amazing. You know, any word you can use to describe someone who's not just a champion, but one who shows an impressive physical display as he did, 61 home runs that he blasted.
Incredible display of power. And Jonah was saying these weren't just eking over the fence, Andrew, that these were really long shots.
Oh, yeah. Some of the greatest hits, if you will, pun intended, over, you know, 500 feet, the little videos that we see on Twitter that people are posting where you see these little snippets of the 61, or, you know, people have put together compilations where the best of, where you see him kind of hitting rapid fire, these home runs and videos like that. So a lot of intriguing social media that we're seeing from this, and congratulations to him.
Congratulations indeed to Giancarlo Stanton with that prodigious Home Run Derby win. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, Twitter, we've talked about in the past, has wanted to get into live video, and we've talked about how this upcoming NFL season, they're going to be showing the Thursday night National Football League games on Twitter here in the U.S. They just did a live streaming experiment with Wimbledon, and now there's news that they're reaching out to other sports leagues in the U.S. to try to do some live streaming. They reached out to the National Basketball Association, Major League Soccer, the NCAA basketball, of course, the college basketball tournament, and the PGA Championships, the golf tournament. So they're reaching out across all different sports disciplines to try to do some live streaming on Twitter. Now, this will be very interesting because Facebook has been kind of jumped on this live streaming game, and they've tried to do some sports live streaming on their site. It'll be interesting to see if Twitter can carve out a niche for itself as a sports destination to watch these things live. And as we've talked about on previous shows, it'll be interesting to see how that works out for maybe people overseas who want to watch some of these games and matches, or listeners perhaps want to watch some of the NBA games. Will they be able to do that on Twitter, or maybe it'll be restricted by country? So there's a lot of interesting questions that we're hearing, but this first push, I think, is kind of the crest of the wave of the future that we're seeing. More live sports on social media. You're going to go to Twitter and Facebook and those kind of websites instead of maybe turning on the TV.
Andrew, I imagine getting back to Wimbledon, that Serena Williams might still be trending this week, even though it's been a few days since she won another trophy at Wimbledon.
Yes, Serena and Andy Murray both, and actually all the champions, what they do after Wimbledon, they have what they call the Champions Dinner. And they go and they get dressed up in tuxedos and dresses and they carry their trophies with them. And the comment that I kept seeing is, it's so bizarre to see Serena Williams in this evening gown and Andy Murray in a tuxedo, because we're not used to seeing them dressed up like that. We're used to seeing them on the tennis court, you know, sweating and grinding out these wins. So it was a nice way for them to celebrate. It's a nice tradition that they have after the championships at Wimbledon, that the winners get to go and party for a little bit and celebrate their success.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a nice feature by Chuck Culpepper of the Washington Post on female Muslim athletes looking to chase Olympic glory. So check it out if you want a good read. Chuck Culpepper with a feature on female Muslim athletes. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, you know how sometimes a company or an entity will come up with a hashtag and they think they're doing good and it just backfires spectacularly? Well, this happened with Barcelona. They have a hashtag that they launched, We Are All Leo Messi, after Lionel Messi's tax evasion charges were levied against him. And so they came out with this hashtag and said, We Are All Leo Messi, let's show him our support. Well, the responses were not very supportive. There were some fans that came out and said, you know, he's the greatest, he'll come back, he'll rehab his image. But there were a lot of people saying that it was roughly equivalent to them supporting tax evasion. One person called it the biggest mistake since Messi's tax returns. And then the other hashtag we started to see was hashtag We Are Not Leo Messi. So even though his fans are maybe out there supporting him, there are a lot of people who don't think that he should be forgiven so easily for these tax evasion charges. They don't think that Barcelona should be supporting him necessarily, or at least not in that way, saying, we're all Leo Messi. A lot of people taking offense saying, I'm not Lionel Messi. I paid my taxes. I filed mine on time, so I'm not Lionel Messi. So, again, one of those instances in social media where they tried to do something good. They tried to do a positive message and have a positive hashtag, and it just backfired.
Interesting that this week, in terms of social media, Andrew, I know Messi is always compared with Cristiano Ronaldo of Portugal. And, you know, it almost seems sometimes that Ronaldo is always chasing Messi when it comes to fame and glory. But this week, I think Cristiano might have had the upper hand.
I think he wins the week for sure with that the Euro. Even though he was out and he hurt his knee, still you could see in those photos the joy that he had for helping them to win that cup. And as I was talking with one of our colleagues here, he said, well, he was out for the last 70 minutes of the match. Why did he have to rip off his jersey at the end? And then we realized, because he has an underwear endorsement deal, so anything you can see the top end of the underwear, then that's, probably very calculated. But again, as we talked about, those endorsement deals can be big money for athletes, so not surprising there.
Big money indeed. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the July 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Jonah Cummings. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On February 24, 1942, one of the darkest days of the Second World War, radio listeners in Axis-occupied Europe heard this announcement. Daily at this time we shall speak to you about America and the war. The news may be good or bad. We shall tell you the truth. For nearly 75 years, VOA has kept that promise. It was a promise reaffirmed on July 12, 1976, in the VOA Charter, given by the U.S. Congress and signed into law by President Gerald Ford. The charter provides, first, that VOA will serve as a consistently reliable and authoritative source of news, and that news will be accurate, objective, and comprehensive. Second, that VOA will represent America, not any single segment of American society, and will present a balanced, comprehensive projection of significant American thoughts and institutions. Third, that VOA will present the policies of the United States clearly and effectively, as well as responsible discussions and opinion of these policies. The Charter's first principle protects the journalistic integrity of VOA news. No official is allowed to pressure a reporter to spin a story in a certain direction. The second ensures that the diversity of America, from sea to shining sea, from Muslim to Christian to Jew to non-believer, from universities to factories to think tanks to Hollywood, is represented. And the third guarantees the world knows where the United States government clearly stands on important issues of the day and why. On the Charter's 40th anniversary, Amanda Bennett, director of the Voice of America, spoke of its enduring relevance.
The VOA Charter has never been more important than it is today. The world really needs a reliable and authoritative source of news and information, which is what the VOA Charter intends us to be.
The Charter remains the Voice of America's lodestar, guiding its mission to present the truth and, as Director Bennett said, to reflect all sides of the American discussion.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Linor Moudou. Please join me live every Tuesday at 1730 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa. In the afterglow of America's Independence Day celebrations, host Shaka Sali and his guests will discuss what independence has meant and means for Africa. Tune in to Straight Talk Africa next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African music mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African music mix plays only the best. Yes, sir. Two Face.
NATO C. Hey. Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.